Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is September the 7th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show and looking forward to bringing you a show today. If you hear my voice is a little out, don't worry about it. My good friend and co-host is here with us. Pastor Keith is here, so he's going to be able to help us out a whole lot today. He's looking forward to it. He told me, hey, Dave, just be quiet. Sit back. I'll take care of everything. I want to do the whole show. I said, okay, Keith, go ahead. Run with it. And then he just looked at me. So I guess he's going to be chiming in today. So if you would like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you. On this Financial Friday, every Friday is a Financial Friday that we have a show about some financial things, trying to get you prepared and get you in position to seize on all of the opportunities that you possibly can. So definitely give us a call at any time, okay? But before we get into what's in the news and today's show and in the other advisements, everyone, please continue to support this network, Black Talk Radio Network. I will be sending a donation today or tomorrow or this weekend. Need to do that. You need to do that. We need to support this network so it can stay on air. So, so important. If this network has been giving, if you have deemed this network to be beneficial to you, then please sow a seed of appreciation by supporting the network. And you can do that by going to the network's website of blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt and then become a member with its social media platform known as BTR Community for only $24 a year, an annual fee of only $24 one time a year. And that will give you access to the social media platform that has been put together. Black Talk Radio Network realizes that the mainstream media ones, FedBook and tweeting, telling, and all that other stuff was not beneficial really to you at all in the social media space. So you can engage in all of your social media activities and relationships right there at BTR Community for only $24 a year. Support the network that way, and this will help the network stay on air and bring you all of the programs that you have deemed as being necessary and relevant. Especially in these times, we're going to need this platform. We're going to need the programs that have been brought to you by this network. You know that. So let's make sure we do what we can do to ensure that it is here. All donations, large or small, is greatly, greatly appreciated. Okay, so we're going to get into, before we do that, in 1 week from now, we're going to have the Legacy Wealth Management Seminar, Building a Legacy of Wealth, here in Dallas. If you'd like to be at gmail.com, wolf6pack1. I will be presenting, and that is a place that you really want to be there, be a part of it. If you're in the Dallas area, email me. I'll send you the over to Dallas. There's enough time still to do that. Then do that, and you will learn how to learn the proper structuring that will put you in the best economic position, some of the best economic positions that you could be in structured-wise. And you'll see the importance of that there. And then also I will be giving a presentation about some of the current events and things that I don't get to really talk about here on air, but I'll be able to disclose to you in a more intimate setting. So looking forward to doing and sharing that with you all, okay? Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you should be doing, go to Prosperity Mint, P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y. Prosperity Mint is a full, M-I-N-T, excuse me, is a full-service precious metals company where you can engage in all of your, where you can exchange your debt instrument for money. Very, very important. Cash is not money. Never has been, never will be. You should be saving in money, okay? So you can do that with Prosperity Mint. So definitely check that out, okay? And let me see what else. Keith, there's anything that you had that you wanted to share with us before we get going? Or you're going to get kind of shy now. You know, Keith rode me all day yesterday at our meetings and in our after meetings, and so now he wants to get quiet. Okay, I got you. I got you, Pastor Keith. So we're here looking forward to talking with you all. Give us a call at any time, 704-802-5056. We're going to get into what's in the news. Then we're going to jump into today's show. And today's show is Before the Dut is Shut, Prepare. Before the door is shut, prepare. Financial Friday. So it's a Financial Friday, and today's show is Before the Door is Shut, Prepare. So we're going to get into that. Okay, so 1 second. I'm going to have to take this phone call real quickly. 1 second. Okay. So sorry about that, y'all. Here we go. All right, so what's in the news? First article from Criminals, Nothing But Criminals, commonly referred to as one of Keith's favorite networks, CNBC, has an article. And I want to, but here's today, this article is especially, you know, critical for today's show. Companies buying back their own shares is the only thing keeping the stock market afloat right now. Companies buying their own shares is the only thing keeping the stock market afloat right now. And I want to just say something real quickly. Most people think that the stock market is an indication of the overall economy. That is absolutely not true. And most people think that because everything that we've been taught about finances has come from the great hall of the great casino of corporate manipulation known as the market. This is why they call it the market. So that's not a real indicator of the economy whatsoever. I would say it's no indication of the economy at all. It's the indication of what? The overall corporate betting. That's what it is, and manipulation. That's what that whole platform is. It's no different than Vegas. None whatsoever, or any other casino. It's just on a larger scale. It's the global corporate casino, okay? So that is not an indication of the economic position, and so many people think that, and they repeat that, okay? Think about when the stock market is doing really, really well, what is the street doing? What is the general people doing? They're still struggling seeing no real benefits of it. And most people see the benefit of the stock market. Guess where they see it? On paper. So Keith, wait a minute. Keith wanted to chime in. Hold on, let me hurry up, mute myself, let Keith chime in. Here you go, Keith. There you go.
Okay, I think why that's so important, especially right here, right now, right today, is the fact that for the masses, as I talk to people, everybody thinks that the country's doing well. You know, you hear them. They say that employment is lower than it's ever been. All these things, that it's a robust economy. Well, it's robust to a very, very, very small amount of people. And why that's so important to us is because we oftentimes behave according to how we think things are. And it's killing us right now, because where we need to be doing something drastic because of what's going on, we've been lulled into this complacency, thinking everything's going to be all right. And it's never been farther from the truth.
Yeah, Keith, well, couldn't agree with you more. So true. And it's a state of ennui. It's a real state of ennui that that actually is cast upon us, and it's purposely done that way. But you know, when we start to spiritually discern things, we already know things, but way before they happen. Our overall spiritual gifts have never ever left us. Are we developing them and utilizing them? Because, you know, whatever we don't utilize and develop, you know, we squander. And so very, very true. And it's not a real indication of where things are. And, you know, in this, just the subtitle on this article real quick, and it says that companies announced $433.6 billion in shares repurchasing during the period, nearly doubling the previous record of $242 billion in the first quarter. At the same time, investors dumped $23.7 billion in stock, focus funds in June. Also a new record. So we'll take a look at some of this, and this is all a part. But the headlines is really a indication there. And what happens is that the market likes to do this. There can never be a buyer without a seller. So the market, if you ever listen to the market from Cerebrally Naive Network or from Criminals, Nothing But Criminals, and so Cerebrally Naive Network, you'll hear from them again, commonly referred to as CNN, another favorite of Keith's favorite place to get news. And then Criminals, Nothing But Criminals is CNBC. And so what's very important there is that I forgot what I was going to say. My phone rung, and I forgot what I was going to say. As soon as I get on air, my phone goes super, super berserk. So, but I know why, because most people are used to me being available at this time of the day. Yeah, hold on. We got a caller in queue real quick. My man Rob out of ATL wanted to comment. Rob, welcome to Tando Radio Show. Go ahead, bro. What say you?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what you were saying, because I still, you know, daily do my technical analysis of the market or whatnot. And come to find out, a lot of that cash that they're buying back the stock with is actually borrowed from the central banks or whatever institution that they borrowed their money from, because they're trying to repatriate. They're trying to patriate some of their money. They're going to have a holiday. I don't know how often it is, but the money comes, all the money that they have, excuse me, all the cash that they have overseas has to be, they want it to come back untaxed. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, a lot of their money, a lot of their cash that they're buying their stock back with is borrowed. They're using debt to get debt. You understand what I'm saying? And it's something to, it's definitely, you know, something that we talk about often. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that comment.
Well said, Rob. Absolutely right. You remember the article that we didn't have a show yesterday on Thursday, when we talked on Friday with the JP Morgan Chase analyst said that the banks would start to have to buy in the equities and everything. That's what Rob, that's a part of what Rob is talking about. Quantitative easing, that's what it is. MBSs, mortgage-backed securities, and all of these other things. This is a trick that the market likes to play on people, and it actually causes for displacement, and it actually is used against the everyday person, you know, because they're able to use debt to acquire assets. They understand the importance of that. And the thing is that we have to understand that too, because, you know, when you have a table that's equally yoked, then you have a deal that's more conducive to prosperity. You can actually live off of that deal, but we don't have that anymore. So really, really important. We're going to take a look at that. But yeah, the other article that we read on Wednesday from JP Morgan Chase kind of goes along with this, a part of what's going to be happening. And remember, he said, hey, this is happening because what happens is that, and I know I was going to say, there can never be a seller without a buyer. Can never be a seller without a buyer. I know that, I would say this, that's the concept, but that's not always true. Well, in a way, no, it is. What I mean by it is there can never be a seller without a buyer means this. If someone wants to buy, let's say, 2 shares of AMAX, company B, if they want to buy 2 shares of company B, then that means that someone has to sell 2 shares of company A, okay? And vice versa. If they want to sell it, there has to be someone that's willing to buy it. And this is why when you have real economic crisis within the overall marketplace, because we've actually been in a depression for a long time. If you know the real financial definition of a depression, you would see that we've already been in a depression for a long time. And there's a definite truth to that, because there are goods, but there's not enough money to acquire the overall good. That means that you're in a state of depression. Okay, so, but what happens with this is that it's very important, because what they do is that when you have a market crisis, everyone starts to sell, so there's no one to buy. And when there's no one to buy, it causes where the whole thing could be, the outflows could be so great that it's not controlled and contained. But see, they do that for the purpose and the reason of strengthening the few's or the selected controller's position, because that's what it does. Because what they do is they have a bull market to get everybody in so that they can do what? Sell out of their position. So they sell when it's so-called high. And then they wait for it to bottom out when it's so-called low. You've heard the old saying, you buy when there's blood on the street. So this is the game, and we really need to stop playing it. It is not a situation that we should be engaging in. Okay, next article. I got this one. Thanks to my man Mar for sending this. You know, I just want to thank Jambone, thank Roz, thank you, thank Jambone. I want to thank Roz, thank you, Marvin. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, TK. And everyone that, Jenna, everyone that participates in sending articles for me and everything else and putting articles in, I greatly, greatly appreciate you all, because you definitely add a lot to the show. All right, so this one came from my man Marv, and he got this one from Business Insider. And it says, if this tariff affects, we are out of business. If these tariffs take effect, we are out of business. Small companies warn of widespread layoffs and shutdown if Trump doesn't back down from a trade war with China. Well, too late. And we talked about this earlier, but this is another one that's happening, and Marv said that. He said, if this tariff takes effect, we are out of business. Small companies warn of widespread layoffs and shutdowns if Trump doesn't back down from a trade war with China. And if you think about it, some of the critical parts of the overall everyday person's economy is built in their overall, the relationships they have with small to medium businesses. So that is a true economic problem for everyone, because that directly affects you and I. Next one, this one, Marv also sent this from Motherboard. Feds charge North Korea for WannaCry. Sony hack. Check out that article. Hacking is very prevalent. Oh, my goodness, is it? And it's going to be a problem going forward and significant. Next article, I got this one from Disobedient Media. How the CIA undermined civil rights. How the CIA undermined civil rights. We'll probably do a show about this one. I'm going to do it from a standpoint of why we need to prepare and why we need to do certain things. But there are other shows on this network that actually specifically spend time with that, which is necessary. So I don't want to elaborate too much on things, because I like to stay in my lane. I stay in where why I'm here. But it's a, you know, a part of that is this. So. So definitely, but that's a significant article. Real quick, let me just give you the underlying parts of it all. Well, you really can't. We'll take a look at that as well from the standpoint of preparing. It says, although the civil rights movement resulted in many well-known changes at the institutional level, it is widely agreed that the movement did not succeed in a total transformation of the American society. Well, when you come out the American society, you mean the society of the United States. The American society is pretty huge. It's not just the U.S. There's Central America, South America, North America. Which America? It's crazy how that's part of the overall getting people to think a certain way about certain things, you know. People are down that are in Argentina. They're Americans. Argentinians are Americans. Brazilians are American. Venezuelans are Americans. Nicaraguans are Americans. People from Honduras, they're American. People from Canada, they're American. So just funny how that all works. So we'll take a look at that at some time. Check that out. Next article, got this one from Wall Street Journal. And I know that thanks to my man Kev. Kev sent me this one. And I know Scotty would greatly appreciate this one. Wells Fargo, Justice Department probe Wells Fargo wholesale banking unit. And it was funny because Keith and I were talking about some banking institutions, and that one definitely came up. And so we'll touch on that. And I have some. I'm gonna wait to later on, just so pass some good stuff to you all. But so check out that article. Major problems there. So Wells Fargo, I'll just tell you, is gonna have some major problems going forward. Probably be one of the first institutionalized banks that is going to probably not make it through the next crisis. And I think it's all by design. So check out that article. The Justice Department is probing whether employees committed fraud in Wells Fargo Company wholesale banking union following the revelation that employees improperly altered customers' information. People familiar with the matter said the Wall Street Journal previously reported that some employees in the unit added information on customers' documents, such as Social Security number, dates of birth, without their consent. Well, let me tell y'all this. All of them do that. I wouldn't be surprised. Don't know for sure. But I don't really need to know for sure. You don't need to ask. You don't need to know how many teeth a wolf has. But you can guarantee when the wolf mouth is shut that it has some teeth behind that they could bite you with. So I'm just saying. Next article. This one I got from marketbusiness.com. Stocks close mostly lower as Wall Street braces for the U.S.-China trade war escalation. Stocks were mostly lower yesterday as trade concerns continue to loom over Wall Street. Technical technical resuming selling for the third straight session, a day after Congress grilled executives from Twitter and Facebook about political context. So check out that article. So, yeah, this trade war is going to lead to shooting wars, and that's setting up. Next article, got just to enhance that, got this one from CNBC News. Didn't get too much from Keith's regular favorite and regularly watched platform known as Lying Like a Fox News. Decided not to put any of that in because we wouldn't get past that story because Keith would be so enthralled and so involved in the conversation, we wouldn't be able to move any forward, anywhere near forward. So next article, U.S. trade deficit jumps by the most in 3 years. U.S. trade deficits increased to a five-month high in July as exports of soybean and civilian aircraft declined, and imports have hit a record high, suggesting that the trade could be a drag on the economic growth in the third quarter. All of these things are starting to matter. This is the setup. There's a lot of traps that are being laid, and this is why we do what's in the news, so that you'll know that. Another disturbing article from Business Insider. San Francisco, out of control homelessness crisis could be combated by a new tracking tool. San Francisco's out-of-control homelessness crisis could be combated by a new tracking tool. San Francisco's newly tracking system could soon identify the history and future needs of every homeless man, woman, and child in the city. The platform is a much-needed solution to the city's outdated and inconsistent database. Homeless tracking systems have shown promise in places like Salt Lake City, and which reduces chronic homeless population by 91% in a decade.
I got a question.
Let me go to you. Hold on 1 second. See, this is, you know, Keith, we have rules here. We play by the rules. Wait, hold on. Let me bring Keith in.
I don't have a comment. I have a question in light of what you just said. Because immediately what comes to mind is a statement, can you spell control? Because if you fact every one of these, the fact of the matter is right now we don't have the money to deal with what we can't deal with as is. So now you get a whole new influx of needs. How is that going to resolve anything if you don't have the money to pay for the needs that are needed right here, right now, that you know about? Just a question.
Yeah. You know, Keith, you're right. It's because there's an underlying purpose behind this. See, what the system likes to do is it likes to project that it's doing something that's beneficial and benevolent, when actuality its overall agenda is malevolent. And it is, this tracking system is a real-time human herding program, because in the tracking now they're going to be able to readily identify and get everyone. You see, what they do is they first say that there's a homeless problem that they created. See, they created that homeless problem. The system actually created that homeless problem. And you can say, nah, Dave, they didn't. No, they actually, the system actually did it. And the homelessness is upheld by the overall system. If the system didn't exist, there would be no homelessness. So there's a reason that they're doing this, and it's not by what they say. They've been using, in my opinion, they've been utilizing the homeless situation for a lot of different malevolent programs, from organ harvesting.
Huge.
And I'm going to tell you why I say and I think that, because, you know, some people, if you're out in the elements, your overall immune system becomes increasingly strong. Why? Because it has to. Whenever you work out, your body will develop strength because of that working out. Whenever you're working out, some people use those antibacterial soaps all the time. That's the worst thing. It's making you sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker, because what it's doing is paralyzing, hamstringing your natural ability to fight off things, because you're adding an artificial method to it all. You're adding a synthetic, false, non-natural environment to a natural body. A natural body can't live it can't sustain itself in an unnatural way. And so, but those hand soaps, those hand sanitizers, they sound good, but they're making you sick. And not only that, they're making you sick for future bugs that can be very, very easily placed into the general population. So Keith wants to chime in. Let me get to Keith.
Okay, can you hear me? All right, I apologize for jumping in so much, but you talked about some stuff. Now, why that's so important to me there, Dave, is you're starting to hear a lot. I forget about the baseball player that you see on TV now. You're starting to see all these male ejection enhancements for testosterone and stuff like that. It goes exactly to the root of what you just said, except on a larger scale. Guess what? Those things work. They will put you on another level almost immediately. What they don't tell you is, simultaneous to that, they're actually burning out your system to produce that testosterone or anything else in the future ever again. Which goes back to what you're saying. You know, they're giving you these things, and you'll see an effect.
They'll make them popular.
They are. And they're getting to be huge, but it's shutting down your entire system from as soon as they stop working, which they will, at a relatively short period of time. And not only will your body become immune to them, but it's creating a lot of damage in your body. So when you decide to get off of them, whatever ability that you had to produce it before is completely gone after that. And that's a huge business right now.
Yeah, because your body is inundated with a synthetic drug trying to manipulate and change and mutate and cause the natural body to mutate to accept it. So it gets addicted to it, and then the damage from its existence is there. It's another that one is another hidden form of depopulation. It really, really is. And this with the homeless is that the tracking of the homeless people, because see, first they're going to say you need to track homeless people. Then they're going to give you some statistics of how it works so well. When in actuality, if you wanted to reduce homelessness, you get rid of this overall economy, man's economy, because that's the cure. Because this is all symptomatic, what they're doing, because they're really doing an operation here, because it goes from the homeless today to guess what? We're going to track your children. Remember where all this really kind of started coming from? First, it started with your smartphone. Then it started from your smartphone. They knew that they would get you enthralled into that smartphone, and then you'll be willing and ready to accept the next RFID chip. And so, where do you start it? Under the guidelines that we're trying to prevent homelessness. That environment could have been dealt with long ago in a sincere way, but it's not. Let Keith get in. One sec.
Okay, and seeing that this is Black Talk Radio, again, you got my juices flowing because of what you just said. If you look at all the tracking that you hear about these thousands of people disappearing every day. Thousands. What you don't hear is you don't hear about black males disappearing. Well, black males by far are the ones disappearing the fastest, the most, and you never hear about these people ever again. And it goes right back to what you're saying. The organ system harvesting is huge. And what they recently found out was black organs are far better equipped for that than anybody else's. So there's a reason why you have all these thousands and thousands and thousands of black men disappearing, and you never hear a pipe about it in any manner.
Spoke true, Keith. You know, and I want to just say this, something I learned yesterday at a meeting, you know, how they actually use what's popular to our young people as a gateway to get what they want and to establish something that they can actually have access to young people without people even knowing that the great threat, that the great werewolf is there. And, wow, so true. So we'll touch on that at another time, because it's all about preparing, and we will definitely touch on that. So that is, check out that article from San Francisco, out of control homelessness crisis could be combated by a new tracking tool. Sounds nice, but the devil is still alive, and the details are there of what the plan is to deceive, destroy by confusion, conflict, and what I call overall divestment. You know, we divest ourselves from what the great creator has given us, what God has given us for a sustainable life. And we say, no, we don't want that. We want the deal. We'll take the deal. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from U.S. Times, Reuters. Exclusive, British naval warship sail near South China Sea Island. Beijing expressed anger on Thursday as the British Royal Navy warship sailed close to islands claimed by China in the South Sea of China late last month. So here we go, South Sea of China. The whole thing is going to implode. And I think that when everything is said and done, what appears to be enemies today is going to be friendly tomorrow, because big business will be at hand. Big business has a way of turning, of making enemies friendly. So watch, don't fall for that one. Check out the next article from, this one comes from U.S. News. And I'm having a little difficulty with it. Here it is. This one comes from U.S. News. I got to come up with a name for U.S. News. U.S. News says, loneliness is the next great public health hazard. Yeah. Loneliness is the next great public health hazard. And I have my own suspicions as to what they mean by that. And I don't think they mean what we think they mean. So the loneliness effect, researchers suggest that social isolation and feeling lonely may rival obesity as a threat to people's health. See, why is this loneliness going to, once again, digital dementia? Digital dementia is one of the things, but it's something else that I think I'm going to go ahead and say. I can say it, right? It's Tando Radio Show. One is digital dementia caused by our overall engagement with artificial devices, where we do not cultivate relationships with real people, real individuals, in a healthy fashion. Two, the loneliness effect is that, and I hate to say it, but it's just a lot of people aren't going to be prepared for the next set of the paradigm shift of events that's going to come, and there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be prepared for this, and they're not going to make it. And the people that do make it, there's going to be an effect of being lonely. And loneliness is not just from someone not being there. You know, it's not just from loneliness, could be from a certain person that you've already developed a relationship, and that relationship that you have, that sincere, honest relationship that you have, is no longer there. You know, I know from when my brother made the great transformation, there's a loneliness that I have to endure from time to time because of that. Because I have people all around me, water, water everywhere, nothing to drink, you know? And what I mean by that is that there's a there's a special bond and a special relationship that I had with my brother that is just as uniquely identifying as our own individual personalities. You know, you won't have another Scotty. You won't have another Pastor Keith. You won't have another this person and that person. So, but I really think that that's going to be a part of it all, enhanced with the digital, you know, dementia, and then people are going to not know what's going on, and they're going to keep talking to their phone and rubbing on their phone. What's the matter with me? So, hey, that's just my thoughts. I would love to hear from you all as well. So check this out. Next article. We'll get to it, then we're going to get into today's show. The next article comes from... Oops. Had a little incident. Bill went out on me. Next article comes from... Uh-oh. Excuse me, y'all. Let me just reset this. It, of course, it jumped down on me. Almost there. Oh, boy. Okay, next article comes from... This is an important article. I want you to really listen to this one. Celebrity figurehead Haley, Nikki Haley, keeps your smile from ear to ear. He, you know, he really does. That's one of his favorite people in his party, known as the Republican Party. Nikki Haley said, Nicaragua risks becoming another Venezuela or Syria. Celebrity figurehead U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley warned Wednesday that the situation in Nicaragua risks deteriorating into another Venezuela or even Syria with each passing day. Nicaragua is traveling further down a familiar path. Nicaragua is traveling down a familiar path, Haley told a meeting of the United Nations Security Council on the situation in Central American countries. But you got to hear what she said. We're going to come back to this. Well, let me just say, let me do this. I'm going to come back to this one, and then we'll get into today's show. That was very, very significant. Or should I? No, I'm going to go ahead, because once we get into today's show, I don't want to. But there is something that is critical. It was critical what she said, because it's the message that's being relayed. Syria and Venezuela. Why is Syria in the position that it's in? Why is Venezuela in the position that it's in? It's because of the overall engagement that the U.S. is with their overall agenda is there. They destabilized. They're going to destabilize Nicaragua. You remember when Scotty, it was 2 weeks ago, Scotty said that Nicaragua was one of the nations, or was it Honduras? I guess I should, I can't remember, but I believe that it may have even been Nicaragua, that Nicaragua was one of the countries that was acknowledging that Taiwan was a part of China. And when you say that, you become a direct enemy of the U.S. They're going to destabilize you. And there's a lot of buried operational procedures into laundering of drug illicit and illegal drug going through there. The bodies are, a lot of the bodies are buried there. The secrets of how and the overall relationship. So what are they going to want to do? They want to do something what I call is they're going to want to scrub Nicaragua. So, but here, check this out. Amazing. Got to say this. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley warned Wednesday that the situation in Nicaragua risks deteriorating into another Venezuela or even Syria, because Venezuela and Syria are in the position that they're in because of what the U.S. is invoked. With each passing day, Nicaragua's travel further down a familiar path, Haley told a meeting of the U.N. United Nations Security Council on the situation of Central American countries. It's a path that Syria has taken. It's a path that Venezuela has taken. No, it was actually set out for them by the U.S. More than 300 Nicaraguans have been killed and hundreds injured since mostly peaceful protests erupted in mid-April after long-time President Daniel Ortega made cuts to Social Security system. Did you hear what happened there? Part of the thing is that there was what? Social Security systems, and then it caused what? Chaos. Chaos. What do you think is going to happen when their Social Security will be cut here? It's not going to do anything adverse than, I mean, different than what is happened anywhere else. Remember, we've been telling that, and then now JP Morgan Chase, which is not a validator at all to me. It's just that, remember, the U.S. has already said that Social Security is completely insolvent. So, but here's the part. Daniel Ortega made cuts to the Social Security system. The cuts were quickly reversed, but the protests grew and turned into demands for him to step down. Haley said the Security Council could not remain a passive observer as Nicaragua continues to deteriorate because we know where this path leads. The Syrian exodus has produced millions of refugees, sowing instability throughout the Middle East and Europe, Haley said. The Venezuelan exodus has become the largest displacement of people in the history of Latin America. A Nicaraguan exodus would overwhelm its neighbors, creating a surge in migrant and asylum seekers in Central America. But here's the key. They won't remain passive, because the destabilization is because of their overall engagement, and their engagement has never been passive. So big tell there, pretty significant. So check out that article as to what's going on. Next article, another important article from RT International. Tri-partner talks in Tehran may decide the outcome of Syrian war. The leaders of celebrity figurehead leaders of Russia, Iran, and Turkey will hold talks in Tehran to discuss how to move forward in Syria. Damascus is gearing up for a major military operation as the U.S. threatens it with intervention. So check out that article. There it is. That's the coalition. That's the coalition that just broke NATO's back. And it's going to increase with NATO choosing sides. And you'll see what side Germany chose, as France chose. France chose 2 weeks ago. Germany chose yesterday in an outwardly statement. Here's the outward statement. These two go together. From Sputnik News, Merkel agrees with Putin on needs to fight militants in Idlib. The Syrian authorities earlier announced the beginning of a large-scale operation to liberate the province of Idlib, the last remaining terrorist stronghold in the country. Celebrity figurehead, and I always say celebrity figurehead because these individuals aren't, they're celebrity figureheads. If you see them on camera, they now make no decisions. That's just what they want to project to you. Celebrity figurehead German Chancellor Angela Merkel has expressed support for Russia's actions in Syria. Why is that significant? Germany is the key NATO member. Germany is key to the EU. Germany has just announced that they support in Russia, and they've said it in so many different ways. This is another way, because Merkel agrees with Putin in a need to fight militants. Guess who the militants are? The proxy war. They are the creation of a proxy war that's established, funded, and directed by the U.S. government. I like to put it this way. Germany agrees with Putin on the need to fight the U.S. Done deal. Very, very, very significant and important. There it is, right there. Read between the lines. Next article from South China Morning Post. Beijing will hit back if Trump imposes new trade tariffs. Check out that article. Then another article from Press TV. Tariffs. Excuse me. Move this down. Next, from Press TV. Trump terrifies Germans more than terrorism. Trump terrifies Germans more than terrorism. I know that, Keith, that really boils your blood, because I know how you feel about celebrity figurehead Trump. You know that your opinion is that he's the right thing for putting the country back in the right direction and everything. Keith is another staunch supporter of Make America Great Again, and I'm just being, you know, I'm just clowning Keith over there, you know, spinning and ready to go at it. If you ever want to get a real lively fight out of Keith, just mention the man's name. It's over. So, but it's see, here's a setup, and it's, this setup is very important. Here it is. More than two-thirds of Germans are extremely concerned that celebrity President Trump policies are having dangerous impact worldwide. An annual opinion poll ranks the Germans' biggest fear that they have found to be him. Why is that significant? Once again, this is Germany going to move into a position to where they will also pretty probably soon announce their own axis of evil. And guess who the axis of evil will entail of? The U.S. and its allies. Well, it's probably going to be a one page, the U.S. and Israel. And this is significant because the system loves to have historical support. Remember, the Germans saw this same time of the same kind of Nazism that ran through their land. And they're starting to see the same resemblance to what happened in the Weimar Republic and what happened into the rise of the Third Reich of Nazi Germany through terrorism, because that's how they did it. The same propaganda through the overall banking institutions, creating the overall economic collapse of the Weimar Republic, to where the overall people were burning Deutsche Marks for fuel for fire, because that's the only thing that it was valuable for. The only thing that the paper should be used for. See, and they realize what Make America Great Again means. And they realize what the protectivism means. They realize what breaking treaties and sanctioning the rest of the world. They realize they know what this means, and they're gearing up for it. And there's no turning back now. So check out that article. Next article got from Sputnik News. U.S. Black, Latinos, and Asian people join multiracial right wing. Yale scholars. Check out that article. Then a couple of more before we get into. Next article from Sputnik News. China carries out several dozen hypersonic arms tests, U.S. missile defense chief said. Military intelligence, Washington. China has moved ahead of the United States with several dozen successful hypersonic missiles tests that Washington can't ignore, Missile Defense Agency Commander Lieutenant General Samuel Graves said on Tuesday. And I will just say this. I watched this actual two-hour-long presentation by the military on this thing on C-SPAN. I actually heard what they were saying. And what the setup is remember when we had – it was earlier this week that we did the show where the general said that there is no sanctuary, the homeland is no longer a sanctuary. They basically reiterated that they are helpless in this whole situation. So check out that article, because it is definitely coming. Then hit the next article. It's a Chinese publication. You got to right-click it for English. When you right-click it, you'll see what they're saying about the hypersonic missile testing that they've done. Very, very successful. Next article. This one comes from critical article. This one comes from Bloomberg. Deutsche Bank, top investors, HNA, is said to plan exiting states. Basically, their top investor is pulling out of Deutsche Bank. Let me tell you why. Why is it significant for Deutsche Bank for this to happen? Deutsche Bank is one of the largest banks in the world and is one of the largest banks in the largest the financial corporation within the EU, known as Germany. When Deutsche Bank goes down, so goes Germany. This is sanctions against Germany. Even though HNA is a Chinese conglomerate. But see, the pulling of the strings of things is what the system wants to totally destabilize. They'll come back together later on, and then they'll come again. So you know what? The reason why we were fighting is because the U.S. was actually instigating. Oh, we didn't attack you. We didn't, you know, this email went through, said that you were going to do this, and this one got through. And so what did they do? They made you slap me, and I slapped you. But you guess what? We're going to stop slapping each other, and we're going to have what? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Uh-oh. But this is very, very important because this is going to destabilize Deutsche Bank. Remember, Deutsche Bank is going to be laying off so many people and losing its pace. Basically, Deutsche Bank's overall banking situation is kaput. And that is going to drain because all of the banks are tied into each other. It's a tapestry of because they are franchised. They're franchises. There's no such thing as the difference between the Bank of Japan and the Bank of America. Deutsche Bank. And Chase, it's just name and different. It's the same policies and procedures and objectives. So, huge story about this. And this is Chinese conglomerate said to sell amidst government pressure. Sell because of government pressure. More could open the door for investors to take a bigger role. Deutsche Bank, top investor, Chinese HNA Group, plans to exit as its entire stake in Germany's largest lender as it reversed a debt-fueled acquisition spree, according to people briefed on the matter. The cash-strapped conglomerate, which most recently still held almost 8% of total voting rights of the voting rights, is selling the investment after China demand that it focused on airline business. Said the people close to the situation. Man, this whole thing is a whole lot more to this. This is the overall destabilization economically, everyone. So next article got from Express.co. White House is in a meltdown after Trump's hunt for the mole. It's all propaganda. Last article, I got this one from, for those of you, Keith was here, so I wanted to definitely have this one because he'll feel comfortable with this one coming from Cerebrally Naive Money, CNN Money. Top Deutsche Bank investors is selling out. Chinese conglomerate HNA Group plans to sell off its entire stake in the bank. Oh, my goodness, the entire stake. Whew. Y'all, the banking crisis is more than here, and you got to prepare for it. So, listen, that's what's in the news. We took some time there. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, give me an extra minute. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call. 704-802 is the call-in number. We got Pastor Keith, my buddy, is here in to help us out on today's show. If you'd like to get in, definitely do that. You know, just before we were in the break, Keith and I were speaking. And I just, you know, I said, wow, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that on this move with them pulling out of Deutsche Bank, HNA pulling out of Deutsche Bank, and by them having the government, they don't say which one, but you could, you know, can surmise it as being Chinese government. But you think about it, it would be significant for the Chinese government to say, hey, pull all your stuff out of Deutsche Bank. Because we know where it's going. It's going to have problems. And then HNA, but the key is, what did they tell them to do instead? To focus on their airline. Now, I'm just thinking aloud, and it's okay for me to think aloud, and I want to thank you all for allowing me to think aloud. But one of the things that I know, especially in today's world, why that probably is, and I could be wrong, I have an opinion, doesn't make it right, but when I see that and I read through the lines, I see this. Okay, so they're pulling them out of their stakes out of Deutsche Bank, and the reason why they're doing, and then what they're telling them to do instead is to focus on their airline. Why is that significant? One of the things that's very, very significant, when you have an army of over 1 million soldiers, you're going to need the infrastructure to be able to move that million army and all of it, because it's over a million man army, but for every man there's probably 5, 6, 7, or 8 pieces of assets that go along with that. There becomes a real logistical necessity to move those type of assets around the globe at a moment's notice, or to prepare for a global war. Because one of the things that China is going to be dependent upon in the war is not just to provide for China, but to actually subsidize other countries' participation in the war for however long it will last, World War III turning into global nuclear war I. And Keith's point was, yeah, you could definitely see that, because when you have manufacturing, and you have factories for airlines, they're very easily convertible into manufacturing other things. Right, and totally agree. I didn't even think about that, but when you have that type of infrastructure with the airlines, now they can start making tanks, they can start making trucks, they can start making other things. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's the reason there. Because it's going to take a real – because China doesn't have bases around the world. Remember, Chinese will tell you that we built the Great Wall of China not to keep the savages in, but to keep the savages out. But the, in my opinion, they're going to build the Great Wall of America to keep the people in. So there's a different dynamic. China has never invaded a country. Have never invaded a country. And we don't even think about that. How many countries has the United States invaded? Best way to do is this will shorten your count. How many countries haven't they?
Have not.
Yeah. How many have the U.S. not invaded? That'll get you to a number quicker, and you'll probably be able to use, one hand and still be able to point with two or three fingers. So Keith wants to chime in. Let me get to Keith. And this is all part of today's show that's significant. So hold on, Keith. Let me get you in.
One of the other things that is so significant, Dave, is if you go back and if you study Nazi Germany during that war, and it's really worth studying, because if you look at it from the viewpoint that little tiny Germany almost brought the whole world to its knees by itself. That's huge if you think about that for a moment. But if you study how he did things, the most important proponent that Hitler thought about the war was his railway system. And if you look when he started the war, his railway system, and at the end of the railway system was everything, because not only did it have to do with the manufacture of goods, the transportation of men, but it goes also back to one of the most important of war in all aspects, and that's supply lines.
Right.
So when you start looking at the airways, that's exactly what you're looking at in all those categories.
Yeah, so true. And OLG posted something inside of the chat that's really good. It says it was from news.com, how the South China Sea controversy heats up as man-made islands are almost complete. They're done. Those islands are strategically placed to defend the South Sea of China, that whole region, the Korean Peninsula, that overall economic zone through the trade with the ASEAN nations, with China. That's why those islands are there, and it's they're going to use those islands as controlling points for that. So very, very important. So there was OMG, the combination of the existing bases in north within the new islands in the south means China's military can now operate over the entire sea at the drop of a hat, only deploy the military aircraft. Yes. And what OLG said is, because of this, it's strategically purposed, because now they're able to operate and have overall hubs of supply and movement in a very effective and efficient way. And, so China has never, ever really built a lot of military outposts throughout the world. But I think that's going to change, because many countries will be asking China to engage in that and to do that. So pretty typical. So we're going to get into today's show. And one thing for today's show, and is today's show is prepare before the door is shut. And I think it's very important that we do that, because it's going to be extremely difficult to prepare going forward when our means and our availability to have medium of exchange for the essential goods that we need. Remember, I forget what article that we read where they said that this. Oh, it was in Venezuela, when they talked about the staple goods, the things, the necessities of life are what people are now have been fighting over in short supply. It's always important to prepare when no one else is looking. And I think it's high time that we really, really bunker down into that and see the importance of it and use the overall time and the moments that we have right now to better position ourselves, our family, and our overall community. It's really an obligation. It's really an obligation. And Keith, you know the story of the biblical story of the individuals that were given the inheritance and what they were supposed to do with it. The one buried it. And some others did, you know, the talent. Some did good things with it. Some didn't. And, it's very important that we be responsible for the talents that we have, because those talents are the gift of ourselves. And what are we doing with those things? Keith wants to chime in. Let me get him in. One second.
I think... I think what's interesting about that example you just used, Dave, is the ones that were given the talents and they did good things with it. What happened was they went out there, they did good things, and they multiplied their talents. Well, when they came back and reported what they did to the master, not only did he give them the multiplied talents, but he took away from those who had talents and didn't do nothing with them and gave those also to the guys that multiply these talents. I think there's a lot to be said in that. You know, one of my favorite words in the Bible, it's not my favorite words, as a matter of fact, it's a disturbing word, but he always talks about a small group that he calls a remnant. And he always has a remnant, and it's always the remnant that has to lead the masses. It's always a small remnant that has to lead the masses. And I preached the other day, and what I was telling them that is that's never an easy task. It's a thrust-grain task. It's a task that most people that hold that position, they don't want it, including Moses. Moses is like, look, I ain't asked for this. Why are you giving me these stiff-necked people? But the bottom line is we have to understand that to much is given, much is required. And he never gives all that for just your purposes.
Yeah.
It's always because you're going to have to lead the masses. And it goes back to the example that you used the other day. They all had candles, but only a few of them had the foresight to do what they were supposed to do with those candles before the events took place. And I think that's a lesson to everybody that's listening, because we have to understand that this knowledge, these things aren't given to us just for our own benefit. It doesn't operate that way.
And I remember when, you know, Brother Davis and I, when we talked about starting a radio show, that was... The first thing that Brother Davis said was that, David, we have to do this. Because I called Brother Davis. I said, hey, Brother Davis, we need to do a show. He said, what would you like to do it on? And said, preparing. And he says, yes, we absolutely have to. We have to do what we're supposed to do to get the people as ready as possible. He says, because it's our obligation. And I want to see how this whole thing turns out, because I want to make sure by using what I have with others to see what we can accomplish. And it's very important, like you were saying, Keith, it's not really about you. Responsibility is really a mirror of true love, because responsibility mirrors love in this way, because when you really love someone, and when you really love part of really loving is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for the advancement of someone else. Now that's true love. And taking everything that goes along with that, and everything that goes along with that is going to be difficult. Not everything, but there's going to be a lot of obstacles. There's going to be a price that's going to be paid. There's going to be there's going to be uncomfortable situations that's going to arise. There's going to be anguish.
He never wants us.
When you go back to the word, he talks a lot about the fact that you have to understand. He never wants us to give out of our abundance. It always requires a sacrifice. It always requires a sacrifice. That's something that it goes back to what you were saying, right? Which is goes actually deeper than that, because actually that is our purpose here on earth. Literally our purpose. And you see that over and over and over again, even by the only commandment that we live by. And that commandment is love the Lord with all the heart, all the soul. But the other part of that is to love your neighbor as you do yourself. That always requires a sacrifice when you think in terms that you want everybody around you to have at least what you have. And that doesn't mean an abundance and everything, but at least to where they should be able to have the things essential for life. You know, he says, I give a lot to a few. I give a few to a lot. But either way, it should put you in a position that nobody should have to want for their needs.
Yeah, you know, and for today's show goes kind of right in hand with that, because I want us to take a look at, there's something called the United States gross federal debt to GDP. Very, very, very important. Because what it is that there have been some individuals that have been stealing and sifting from everyone that's placed us in the position that we're in right now. And until we stop participating in that, it will continue to grow and manifest itself in economic collapse, economic calamity. It will go into debt. It will go into disease. It will go into famine. It will go into war, depopulation by war. It will go into strife. It will go into division. It will go into the total deterioration. It will go into a complete abatement of who we truly are. We will actually be genetically modified. Genetically modified because of this foreign substance that continues to come into our body. It will take over, we'll become addicted to it, and we will no longer be who we were originally capable of being and who we are. And that is all by design. So I want us to really start to prepare while we still can and have the momentum and the overall the opportunity and to prioritize our overall days, our lives, and our attention to things. This is critical, and I want to use this as an example. The United States gross federal debt to GDP, gross domestic product, is very important. Right now, the United States government debt is equivalent to, it's above this by far, but it's equivalent to, this is what is being admitted, it's not true, it's at 105%, 105.40%. Okay, then I want you to think about that for a minute. Let's say you're in debt. I want you to use this as a personal thing. Let's say you make $30,000. No, let's use this. Let's say you make $1, one U.S. dollar, one U.S. debt instrument, one U.S. slave wage, one U.S. currency, one U.S. imitation of God's money. That's what it is. One U.S. counterfeit of the intrinsic power that God has placed in money. Okay. You get one piece of paper. You get your one permission slip. You get your one promissory note to debase you. Okay, so you get where I'm going. Okay, so you got that one note. But your overall debt obligations are $10. But your debt obligations are $10.05. You can't. You absolutely can't. Keith said, how do you get out of that? You absolutely can't get out of that. That's the trick. That's the trick. That's the trap. And I want to give you some indications of this real quickly. The gross domestic product for 2017. The U.S. gross federal debt to GDP, gross domestic product, is at 105.4%. So in comparison to the gross domestic product, what they produce compared to the debt is at over 105%. This is going to tell you pretty much everything. Those in debt are always the captured casualties of war. This is why those in debt, everything with debt comes where you lose your overall resources. You go into receivership, you know, ownership. When you don't pay your debt, what you own gets repossessed. Okay? So the U.S. is at 105. The government debt to GDP in the United States average was about 61%. That's high as I don't know what either. Because if you got a $6 obligation and you still get paid $1, you still lost. And that was percentage from 1940 up until 2017, that was the average, okay? But these numbers are wrong. But it reached an all-time high, and I remember when it reached that all-time high. Well, I'm sorry, I meant to say Keith remembers when it reached the all-time high. Keith remembers when it made the all-time high. The all-time high was at 118, basically 119% in 1946. I think that's when Keith bought his first home, just fresh out of college. But it goes on. And a record low of 31% in 1981, basically 32% in 1981. So that was the record low, and that was the record high. And right now we're at 105. What does that 105 mean? Meaning that your record high is no longer a record high. Your floor and your base is now at somewhere in the hundreds. That means that the new high is going to be far beyond that. But here's the significance of that. You can't survive this. It's the actual economic definition of bankruptcy is when you have more liabilities than you have productivity or assets. Best way to put it, more liabilities than productivity, you bankrupt. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. That's an economic truth that is held. It's even held in the ecosystem. It's even held in God's ecosystem, as well as in man's economy. More assets. More liabilities, less assets, you broke. Okay? Something very significant about this that's very important And this is why we have to prepare now, because of that overall disparity between productivity comes the wage and productivity measure again, once again. What's going to happen is that overall debt ratio is going to continue to go skywardly, because one of the things with debt is that when you have $10 debt and you have $1, there's no way in the world that you can afford the interest. So now the debt continues to multiply exponentially, because the overall dollar that you have can't even do interest. Here's the real downfall of it all. Everyone that knows that you're in debt, no one comes to your aid anymore. When you're in debt, it's like a drowning person. Anybody that jumps in there with you is probably going to get pulled under with you. When you're in debt, you put yourself in a position to where no one will want to come to you. No. They won't want to come to your aid. They can't come to your aid because that stuff is contagious. And the contagion is this. The assets that I've worked so hard for, I didn't work so hard to give them to you to squander, because they look at you as a squanderer. It's a big difference. Now, you may have someone that goes through a hard time and everything else. You should definitely help them out. And if you've gone through a hard time, do whatever it is you can to repay those that stuck themselves out for you. It's very, very important that you do, because there's spirit that goes along with that. So listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, I want to show you something that's very significant about this, and this is why you must prepare right now. And we're going to need each other. Those that don't squander, know who they are. Engage those individuals, because believe me, the life raft that you throw to them, they're going to be able to do what? Throw you one as well. Very, very important. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation when you come back, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Keith is waiting to talk to you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, back on live. If you'd like to get in on the conversation anytime, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And we need to prepare before the door is shut. See, what happens in the door shutting when you have so much debt is that the rest of the world says, you know what, they're unsalvageable. We don't want anything to do with them. And what they do is they say, instead of paying attention to them, let's pay attention to each other and walk away from them. Let's get out of here and let's do some things so we won't end up like them. And this is what happens. And right now, the U.S. is at 105%. Let me give you some of the countries. And the highest that it's been, it was in recently was in 2016, it was at 105.8. Now it's at 105.4. It's nowhere near that, Keith. You want to try like Venezuelan style debt to ratio? It's probably somewhere of 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 20,000%. It's really there. And you really can look around and see it. If you look, you can tell the way that this direction is going. You can tell that the person that's in the overall pool of debt is not treading water, that they're suck, and they're not going to be able to. I'm gonna tell y'all something. My mother is hilarious. Love mom. Mom is hilarious. My mom said one of the funniest things. She said, "David, do you ever go on cruises?" I said, "Absolutely not, mom." She said, "Me either." I said, "Why don't you go on cruises?" She said, "Well, first you tell me why you don't go on cruises." I said, "Mom, because, you know, they have some real problems on those things sometimes, you know, and people get sick, food poisoning and all this other stuff. You know, it's confined, and I'm just not, and I don't like the ocean, you know. I just don't like the rough seas and all of that." She says, "Okay." She said, "Let me tell you why I don't go on cruises, Dave." And I bust out laughing because I know it's funny. She said, "Because I can't drink all that water." I said, "What?" She said, "If something goes wrong, if anything ever goes wrong, you can't drink all that water." And I bust out laughing. She's right. Because when you start to, if you can swim, or even if you can't swim, one thing you can't do is drink all the water in the ocean if something went wrong. And I say that for this reason. You can't drink all of this paper. It's going to drown you. All this debt, all these promises, all these broken promises, all this falsehood of money, this illegitimate, imitation, counterfeit money. It's all been created for you to drown on. And believe me, you won't be able to drink or eat it all. And one of the significance of that is I want to give you some of the countries, because time flies. Let me give you some of the countries and the highest and lowest, but we're going to give you the government's debt to GDP by countries. Here we go. The highest is Japan. Japan has a debt currently of GDP ratio of 253%. Now, why is that so important? Do you know who one of the biggest and largest buyers of U.S. debt is? Japan. And if Japan is buying the debt of the U.S., that means that if they are 253, guess what that really means for the U.S. that they're buying the debt for? They're exacerbating their debt and creating more debt for you. Next is Italy at 131%, basically 132. Then Singapore at 110. Then the United States in number four. Then Spain. Then France. Then Canada. Then the Euro. But let me give you the numbers. Spain, 98.3%. France, 97%. This is why France, wherever Germany goes, France has to go. Canada, 89.6%. The Euros area, 86%. The UK, 85%. Brazil, 74%. India, 68%. Germany, 64%. Argentina, 57%. The Netherlands, 56%. South Africa, 53%. China, 47%. Mexico, 46%. Australia is at 41%. South Korea, 38%. Switzerland, 29%. Indonesia, 28%. Turkey, 28%. Saudi Arabia, 17%. In the lowest developed country for debt, Russia, at a mere 12.6. And if you look at that, I want you to look at some very important things. Let's look at some from below 50%, and you're going to see something that's very significant. Countries right around 50% and below. Mexico, no longer really an ally of the U.S. China, South Africa, Australia, South Korea, Switzerland. Switzerland is really no longer an ally of the U.S. If you read between the lines, they've already said it. Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Russia. If you notice, all of those nations have all moved against the U.S. Why have they all moved against the U.S.? Because they know you can't save a drowning debtor. Best thing to do is to move away from them as fast and as quickly as you possibly can. Russia having the lowest is significant. Russia's debt is below 15%. And the thing that actually magnifies that even more, because they always want to tell you that Russia's economy is doing this and doing that. But see, that is the overall appearance for what the overall agenda is. Russia has vast resources. They have vast amounts of resources, and they have relationships because of those vast resources that other countries that have resources do business with them. And I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the top debtor nations are always trying to uphold and get somebody else to pay their debt. This is why Japan is in the situation that is in economically. Look at Italy, Spain, part of the what? You look at them, they're part of the known as the pig nations. Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece and Spain. They're all in what? A quagmire debt situation where they are actually, they're losing their overall sovereignty because of it. And there's no way in the world, because if you look at all the look at this, by looking at the U.S., they're the ones in the greatest form of debt because they were working off of the petrodollar and the reserve currency status of the world. So they've created even more debt than what they represent here. There is no nation greater in overall debt than the United States. And because of that, it is not going to be able to survive this. What does that mean? That means the promissory note that you are paid is not going to be able to acquire assets for it. You have to use that, and this should be one of the highest priorities that you have. Is that? And Keith wants to chime in. Let me bring Keith in real quick. One sec, Keith.
I think to piggyback on what you also said, Dave, everything that you're saying is absolutely true. But there's another proponent, and that proponent is the United States has been so nasty to all these other countries in the process that whereas these other countries were in trouble and stuff like that, you know, there was a concern for these other nations out of a natural concern. But the United States has literally put themselves in a position that people can't wait until the United States fall. And when they fall, they can't wait. You remember when Bonnie and Clyde were killed, and after they were killed, there were thousands of people that ran up to the car, and they were just trying to get souvenirs from that. That's what you're going to see with the United States. The United States, all these countries around the world cannot wait until the United States falls, and they can run up and get a punch, a kick, a souvenir, whatever.
You know, Keith, one of the things that's important about that is that the U.S., through its policy of being able to go in and colonize the countries and taking out their natural resources and taking their resources for their overall benefit gain, one of the things that's important is some of that there's been infrastructure that was built there. And all of these countries are going to seize that infrastructure for their benefit.
and they're going to nationalize the relationships. And as OLG says, vultures do what? Pick the bones. And he's absolutely right. And Keith wanted to chime in off of that. Let me get...
of what the United States has done. So his call right now is to unite all of Africa, because he's saying, look, we have the infrastructure, we got gold, we got metal, we've been enriched, and these people have come in and enslaved us and taken all our stuff forever.
Did you mute yourself, too?
Okay, I don't know where I left off. But bottom line is where it comes from.
You were talking about the brother out of South Africa. I didn't mute myself, but it had background noise. Sorry about that.
Okay, so that's the same brother that's going in and taking back all the lands from South Africa from the white people, because he said all this stuff was stolen from us. Not only was all this stuff stolen from us, but he says prior to that, we were all Africans. And he says, The breaking up of Africa has come through the colonization of the same people that came and enslaved us and stole everything that we have. And he said there's a call now for them all to unite. And if you listen to his message, sure, Europe was just as involved in it than that. Europe was very involved in the Africa and stuff, but what Europe did to them, the United States has done to the entire world. And people are just chomping at the bit to take back what we've taken from them for decades.
Yeah, and yes, and that has always been a part of the overall political, geopolitical destabilization spot. And that's how you do it, is that infrastructure will be built and created and then seized at the appropriate time. This is what I call, because hate has an expiration date. They know that after the hate gets so much that they have to use that, because there's no great crisis that they're ever going to not allow to gain from. And so OLG wanted to chime in. I think Scotty did too. OLG, go ahead. I'll unmute you. Did you want to chime in?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I came in late, but I was trying to touch on something when you keep talking about debt. Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you perfectly.
You were talking about debt. You know, we talked about the last time I talked with you was talking about soft power. When you talk about Venezuela and debt, that country was merged into debt not because they don't have access to resources, it's because the people who control the money actually bring in staples, but they sell it through the black market. They don't allow it to go through regular distribution channels. And the reason I say that is Americans are pretty much in the same situation. We don't even understand how you get plunged into debt. You gave the timeline of 1980. Now, around 1980 was when they first gave civilians access to cheap credit. People don't understand that's an instrument of debt. And when you go in debt just buying your staples, you become a victim. The same thing that happened in Venezuela is actually happening here in America. But because there's no mayhem in the street yet, most Americans don't even understand. When you got to pay for college education and be $100,000 in debt, when you go to the grocery store to buy your vegetables and you think you're getting ahead because of what convenience, you find out what happens when the distribution channels get disrupted. You can't eat. I had an interesting conversation with my neighbors here for the last 4 or 5 years, because every time I come back to Virginia, I always go to the local farmers that have been farming since I was a kid and buy all the vegetables and stuff. My mom kept asking me why. Once those people became too old to farm, You know what she's been saying the last 3 or 4 years? I sure miss getting those fresh vegetables from so-and-so. I sure miss this. Yeah, and your pocketbook is missing it too, because now you got to go to a distribution channel and wonder how long your food set in storage before it was shipped to you. No nutritional value. Got you purging in debt because you go and buy this stuff under, quote, convenience, but you don't understand you're steady burying yourself in debt. So, you know, I didn't want to disrupt where your conversation is going, but when you're lending to banks overnight at 0.00% interest, and they're using fiat money to do what? Grow their portfolio, but steady purge you into debt. You're losing the game all the way around just for the staples in life. And you think that you're getting ahead. You're losing every time you make a purchase.
All I can say is, well said. And you know, OLG is absolutely right. And one of the emphasis about that is that, and I hope everyone caught it, the quality of your food is now deteriorated to where it is actually not even providing the proper nourishment. So you're malnourished. And then now, even though you're gaining weight, you're getting bigger, but you're actually starving because you're not using anything of intrinsic value to trade for something of intrinsic value. So what is happening is a hidden inflation. This is why cars are cheap now, because that's all that your cheap dollar can acquire. Keith wanted to jump in. Well, hold on, what's that? Let me get you in. Let me mute myself.
Yeah. The average apple that you buy in the store, the average apple has been plucked 11 months ago. Same thing with your vegetables. Imagine that. What we buy and what we call fresh vegetables has already been plucked. It's almost a year old by the time we get it.
And if it was a natural apple, a real apple, if it was an ecosystem apple, it would have already had what? Gone through the overall decomposed and already rotted out to do what? To now to reseed the ground and to have the seeds feed off of itself and everything. And we interrupt that process and it destroys us. And, you know, Scotty said something that was so true. He said the U.S. and Saudi Arabia created the crisis in Venezuela. We could stop right there. Absolutely. And that's what they're going to do. That's what they did in Syria. That's what they did. And now they're going to do it in Nicaragua. But Scotty's absolutely right. It was created artificially by lowering the oil prices. And why did they do that? Because the thing was this. Venezuela and other nations were starting to get into where, guess what? We're not going to use debt anymore. We're going to have an asset for an asset change. And then what does that mean? If they're going to have an asset for an asset change, guess what every country around the world is going to do? And I never said this before, but here's what the real play was. Every country around the world is going to realize that the U.S. has been stealing our assets and we want it back. Because if we don't have the assets back, then we will starve. In a new economic economy. So guess what? In order to have to go from a debt-based economy to an asset-based economy, the first thing that you got to do is you have to do what? You have to tell the U.S. you have defaulted, and we're going to seize everything that you ill-gotten, all the false wealth, all the moonlight wealth that you have. You're going to have to return it to its rightful owner. And guess what that means? You're going to have to do what? You're going to have to go and have them put them under receivership. That's what's really happening here globally. So Scotty wanted to chime in before we get out of here. Go ahead, Scotty.
I was actually wanting to talk about a developing crisis that I'm going to keep my eye on. But real quick, though, on what y'all were just talking about. So I was watching this guy that I follow on YouTube, and I forget exactly what it was about. Oh, yeah, it was about the immigration debate and what have you. And he was saying that American citizens are rightly concerned about a threat to their livelihood by these what I call political and economic refugees. People just don't uproot themselves from their homelands and go to a foreign land because they want to. It's because of things that are happening in their country. But Venezuela was a democratic socialist country. Nicaragua, the reason it's being destabilized right now, democratic socialist country. I mean, we could just look all throughout South America and we can see where the U.S. has either funded terrorists, you know, back in the 80s, they were calling them death squads that they were training at Fort Benning, Georgia. You know, anytime these people elect, quote unquote, you know, that political label, a socialist or whatever, here comes the United States, Honduras. It's the latest one. So I said, you know, I can understand people being rightly upset about the undermining of their labor and a threat to their livelihood. But I said, if they're angry at the refugees, they're angry at the wrong people. I said, they need to be getting angry with their U.S. representatives that work with corporations to create these economic policies that destabilize these regions and what have you. And you know, make it so that those people where you might be worried about a threat to your livelihood, these people worried about a threat to their lives and what have you. So, I mean, I don't understand why people don't understand that. You know, like you were talking about building a wall here in the United States. Well, if an economic collapse happens and you can't get no food, we're going to be just like Venezuela, trying to get out across that border and go somewhere else. You know, so I think people really don't understand how the U.S. has destabilized. And it's been a matter of policy for decades. They've been doing this. But the thing that I wanted to touch upon, there's a crisis brewing in Syria right now. I don't know how to pronounce the name of that town that the Russians and Syrian government saying the last stronghold of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. What is it?
Idlib.
Russia just gave the United States a courtesy warning that we're about to attack this area, and you need to get your troops out off that base in Syria. Again, what is the U.S. doing in Syria? What are U.S. ground troops doing in Syria? They weren't invited in. They're an invading force, just like most of the foreign fighters that's associated with ISIS in Syria. So I already see the propaganda machine at work saying, you know, trying. I could see this blowing up into a bigger crisis. Okay, let's say some U.S. troops do get killed in this offensive to take out the terrorists. That's totally on the United States government, man. But that could just really, I see, just a way for Trump to get the focus off of, you know, the little drama that he's experiencing now through Mueller, and then just start a full-out war with Russia. Hey, what better way to show that I'm not a puppet of Putin by starting a war with Putin? You know, so, man, I'm just very concerned about this.
I'm with you, Scotty, and you laid it all out. And I tell everyone, listen, go back and listen to this show and listen to this show again and again, because some real jewels have been dropped. And what Scotty said is so true. And many of us here on Kando Radio Show and Black Talk Radio Network, we've been following these things, and this is how an empire goes to die and how it falls. And we are definitely in that overall space. When I mean by we, I'm not talking about we as U.S. citizens. I don't identify myself as that. But we as people that are going to be adversely affected by that, and that the overall turns of that in Idlib is going to be the spark to where now the Ukraine will spark off, South Sea of China will spark off, and Djibouti will actually ignite. Then Central America now is the next one that will ignite in Nicaragua, and then South America, and then the South Sea of China will spark, and the Korean Peninsula will spark, and boom. There it goes. The opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, it really will only take one or two major incidents for the overall door to be shut for us in a very significant way to be able to acquire the things that we are able to acquire so easily. And it is a must that we take the opportunities and seize them into our best benefit. So listen, everyone, got to get ready to get out of here. I just want to say much love, much respect. Thanks, Scotty, my man, OLG, for chiming in. Keith, always, thank you so much. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Please, 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 prepare, prioritize that. Make that a priority. It's definitely more important, especially when things go awry. You will look back and be thankful that you did what you did do. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.